Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Last week, I started talking to you about transformation, and I just want to keep going on that line at least till next week. Who knows? But transformation is so important in the life of a Christian. It is something that it's a given that we need to be transformed on a daily basis, that we need to be growing and changing. But yet it is not something that it's completely evident in our lives all the time, right? Sometimes it's just not evident that we're changing. Sometimes we're just stuck. And I want to talk to you about that. Why do I get stalled? You know, why do I get stuck? How come it's like somebody has to push start me sometimes, right? Well, what's happening? Why is that? And it makes me think about developmental growth, you know, the human being, how we grow and how we can get stuck in places. But it starts as a baby, right? We start as babies. I was reading in a newsletter called The Last Days. Leonard Ravenhill writes about a group of tourists that was walking through one of those old villages. He describes as a very picturesque. And a group of tourists was walking around and saw an old man sitting by a fence. And one of the tourists very sarcastically asked, "Sir, have any great men been born in this village?" And you know what he answered? He says, "Not really, just babies." Right? Just babies are born. Then whatever they develop into, then that's a different story, right? Heroes are not made, even zeros are not made in one day. Well, that's, somebody could defer with that, right? But the truth is that there is no instant stuff. The only instant thing that can happen is the cleansing of your heart when you come to Jesus Christ on the spot. When God comes and invades your life and you say, "I can't take this. I am so overwhelmed. I'm just going to let go. Take over." And immediately God just simply does something. Amen? I see some smiling around here. I see some smiling over there. That means it's good, right? That is true. But when we think about growth, then all of a sudden it becomes a little becomes difficult, because sometimes we grow, sometimes we get stalled, sometimes we're just stagnating, right? And you can, those of you who've raised kids, you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever told one of your kids, "Grow up"? If you haven't, then you missed it. Because kids get stuck once in a while, right? And then you're like, "When is this kid going to grow up?" Maybe you didn't tell him, but in your mind you're like, "Oh my goodness, what have I done? I've taught this child. I know better. He knows. She knows better," right? But you're like, "What's going on here," right? We get stagnant. We get, especially when kids are going from one developmental stage to another, they may encounter some of those normal crises that they will encounter and might get a little stuck once in a while, need a little push. But we all do. And it happens to all of us, even in our daily lives, our Christian lives, you know, but it is through those struggles that our life is transformed, right? God uses the struggles in life to help us be transformed. And the scripture teaches us that, you know, when you come to Christ, your sin is forgiven. God shows his mercy. You can count on his grace. You're made new. It's an awesome thing. But then you have to think about the seasons that God works in your life, and transformation may stall through that. Sometimes we may be thinking, "What's going on with my life? I'm not reflecting what I'm supposed to. It's just not there," right? The Apostle Paul knew this, and he knew that we were in this transformation. You've seen in some of his passages what he's talking about, but I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he writes this letter to the Corinthians in response, you know, of their lives being stalled, just simply stagnating. And instead of taking the natural course of the gospel, which is unending changing, right, and transformation. And Paul lets the Corinthians know that something's wrong with y'all. And I think the same thing that was happening in Corinth, you know, 2,000 years ago, is the same thing that happens to us today. I think the reasons are pretty much universal. And if you analyze the things that happen in churches and you see some of the lifestyles that some Christians adopt in their lives, a lot of times we as Christians leave not much to desire but much to talk about, unfortunately. And it's so discouraging. It's so discouraging. I know. Do you get discouraged when you hear somebody or see somebody just, you're like, that's not Christian. Please stop, right? It's just not right. And the funny thing is that that's the first thing that non-Christians throw in your face, right? And they go to church, and they Christian, and they this, and they. They're not looking at the big old trunk or plank in their eye. They're looking at the little speck on the other guy's eye. And it happens, right? Even as Christians, we look around, and sometimes we look at other people, and we're like, my God, when is so-and-so going to get it right and live for Jesus, right? It's just, but you can't let that discourage you because you got to seek your own transformation in Christ because maybe somebody else is looking at you and saying, when are they going to grow up? You just never know, right? So the question we need to ask ourselves is, where is the transformation? What's happening? I know that everybody has experienced some transformation, and I know that you... None of us like to stall, right? You don't like to be stalled in life. I remember when we arrived in Puerto Rico in 1971. I was 3 years old, and I still remember. My dad bought a little Falcon, Ford Falcon, 1961. The car was 10 years old, but it looked like it was 60 years old. That thing was a clunker. And we would get in the car, and all you could hear was like birds chirping. Everywhere, and you know, the car did this as we were driving down the road, it would shake, shimmy, and all that. And sometimes it wouldn't start. My dad had to go out there and just start hitting the battery, moving cables, and slamming the hood, and all of a sudden it started. Okay, smoke coming out of everywhere. We hated it, and the whole family hated it. Every time we had to travel, nobody wanted to go in my dad's car because it stalled. Many times in the middle of the road, I pull over, shake it, shimmy, push it, slam it. Hey, it started again. Let's go. And it seems like some of us are living a life like that. And you may dislike it. You may not like it. Of course you don't. Nobody wants to live like that. But you see, we need to think about waking up. We need to think about change. So what is it that Paul tells the people at the church of Corinth? You see, they lived in a city very similar to us, right? They worked and worshiped in a city where the moral values were simply not very good. And we live in a place like that. You can't go too far and warn us to hear about something stupid that people do. And it's accepted around here. It's just the way they live around here, right? It's just the same thing. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's read the first three verses. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of the flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? Wow, some words. The members at the Corinth church, Paul was saying, y'all are just a bunch of infants. Now think about what if right now we were all infants? What would be happening right now in here? Crying? Crawling? Pushing, shoving, just looking at one another make us cry, right? You just don't know what to do. Desperation. Yeah, it's funny. I know, girl. She knows what I'm talking about. In Romans chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul says, "And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." What it's saying to the Christians, to the church, you do belong to him, and you do have his Spirit. Therefore, there is a battle for your life. The flesh is fighting against the Spirit. It's a battle that you encounter each and every day. It's a process until we get to eternity. But actually, I want to tell you, there is hope, because Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, like we saw last week, says that the good work that he started in us, you see, I want you to be convinced, the good work that he started, he will what? Perfect. You will be perfect. There is hope, but God, please help us. Let's achieve it and get there quickly. It just seems like we get stagnant. But let's go. Let's talk about some of those things that happen. The reasons why transformation stalls. Number one, transformation stalls without spiritual exercise. You see, let's make a little comparison between babies and a mature person, right? And verse 1 says that the Corinthian believers were acting like babies. We're acting like babies. Has anybody ever acted like a baby around you, an adult? Don't look at your husband. Don't look at your wife, right? Don't look at your mama. Don't point at anybody, right? It's amazing. But sometimes we act like babies, don't we? Some of you said yes. Some of you are saying yeah, right? Oh, no, that's not right. You see, but they should have been eating solid food, solid spiritual food. But they needed to stay on milk because they lacked maturity. And the only answer to this is exercise. And of course, babies need milk. But you know what? You can't have a child depend on milk for the rest of their lives, because they will not grow. They'll be all ill and rickety, right? It will just not happen. We all know what happens when a believer is transformed. And in order to be transformed, there's food that needs to be going into your spirit. And that food is the Word of God. You need to be reading the Word of God, of course. You know what? I'm so glad that you're here listening to the Word. I'm so glad that you go to the small group and you discuss and you flesh out the Word. But more than that, it's important that you go home and that in your own quiet time for yourself, you read the Word. I know that the first thing, if you want to get your life stuck and if you want to get it, if your life is going to stall, the first thing that happens, you quit reading the Word. As soon as you do that, you start decaying. You start going down for the count. That's why so many Christians don't make great decisions. That's why so many Christians complain that my life is so mediocre. I don't know what it is. I don't know why God doesn't respond. I'm not saying that in all instances, all the time, when you're going through trials, it's because you're rickety, ill, and not reading the Bible. Because even when you read and you do the work, and even when you do your homework, I mean, even when you're on your knees, you're going to go through trials. Look at the Apostle Paul. It's always the example we go to. He's the one who writes this, right? But some of us, have you ever been on a diet? Anybody? It's lovable, isn't it? It ain't right being on a diet, right? It's just not right. You think about it, why? Because you're hungry. You want to eat. And you're like, well, pastor, the right way is you got to eat 6 times a day. You just got to eat smaller portions. Blah, 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 blah. Let's try it. Your portions are not going to diminish, right? They get smaller. Smaller, smaller, bigger, 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 right? It's difficult. It's not easy. But you see, when it comes to our bodies, we know that we need to eat. We think about eating 6 times a day. But what about our spirit? How many times a day do we eat? You see, the funny thing is that we know and we understand that even if you want to starve yourself to go on a diet, like some people try to do, which doesn't work anyway, right? But you can't live off a snack. That's why, you know, I've been told some people have lost weight and this and that with shakes.
Well, you can shake it all you want. I ain't going to go for that. I got to have me a fork or something. There's got to be a dead animal somewhere on that plate. Thank you, sister. Preach on. That's what I'm talking about, right? And just take a shake for lunch. I don't think so. Just take a shake for dinner. I don't think so. Eat one meal a day, two shakes. Yeah, right. You shake that to fatness. You're going to get big anyway doing that. That's just, I'm sorry, man. I'm on my soapbox here now, right? But you can't just eat once a day and think that it's going to be enough for you to make it through. I heard about a man that was on vacation with his family, and they were driving through the state of Florida. And if you drive through the state of Florida, you'll see a lot of farmers. And normally you'll see a lot of what? Orange groves. Oh, my God, they look so pretty. You want to get out and grab an orange, but you don't want anybody to shoot you. So you just keep driving down the highway, and you stop at the next Waffle House or something like that to get orange juice, which probably they bring it from concentrate from somewhere else anyway, right? But this family was traveling, and they were going through, and as they were going, they just like, look at all these oranges, and they stopped at a place, and when they stopped, they ordered their food. I mean, they were happy. They were just, we want orange juice. And then he said, sorry, the machine's broken. And he's like, oh, but, you know, it's like, we got oranges, we just don't have the machine to squeeze them, the machine broken. Like, okay. So they ordered anyway with a Diet Coke, you know, the usual. Because you got to counteract the stuff, right, which you eat. Balance, that's a balanced diet, right? You eat all you want, then you have a Diet Coke. Yeah. So, hey, I do that. Okay, I'm sorry, but I do. It works, right? I don't think so. But anyway, when they asked for their food, they noticed that there were orange slices decorating. And this and that. They're like, wait a second. We've got oranges, but the machine's broken. And guess what? A lot of times Christians have oranges, but they just depend on the machine to give it to them. And if I don't process it and give it to them, they just don't go to it themselves. You know what's more healthy? Drinking orange juice or eating the orange yourself? Hello, you don't need a machine to process it for you. It's right here. You go ahead and eat this orange, the whole thing. Eat the peel if you can. That's where all the vitamins are. That's what people say, right? But every fruit, no, oh, you got to eat the peel. That's where all the nutrients are, all the fiber. Yeah. Okay, anyway, let's keep going. You can't live the rest of your spiritual life with snacking. You have to eat, right? And so, you know what? I've noticed that when I start preaching book by book, in the Bible, and I give you the reading assignments and stuff, more people read the Bible. Not everybody, right? But more people get encouraged to read the Bible. Maybe I need to go back to that one of these days and start from Genesis and go all the way through chapter by chapter. It might take about 30 years. You think I'll live that long? Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Keep praying. Anyway, number two, you see, speaking. You can't handle solid food. You can't speak when you're a baby, but when you're a mature person, you're supposed to be able to speak. You see, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer. You have to speak. You have to pray. Prayer is too important for your church transformation and for your own transformation personally. Now, do you think I can say this about Horeb, about our church, about us? Do you think I can say this statement about us? Seeing people praying together is a normal sight at our church. Seeing people praying together is a normal sight at our church. There's something to ponder on, right? I'm not talking about praying when we eat together because we like to do that. Or when we're here at the church because we like to do that. Or when we're in a class because we like to do that. Prayer is a battle, right? It's a battle. You have to fight it out. How many of you saw the War Room movie? Movie called War Room. How many of you were so encouraged to pray? How many of you made a prayer closet? How many of you go into that closet to pray anymore? See what I'm talking about? We just got to be careful. We can't live in the spurt of the moment. This has got to be a habit. Next, you know, you got to be walking. A little baby can't walk, but a mature person or a bigger person or a developed person can walk. That means that you need to remain active and walking. That means that you need to remain living. That means that you need to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. I think one of the ways that we lose sight of our transformation and we just get stagnant and we stall is when we quit sharing what God has done in our own lives. Maybe that's why we don't share the gospel enough. Maybe we don't share it often enough, and therefore we're going to get stalled, you know. And we're not going to see, let me tell you something. A person that is impressed, a person that is truly in awe, a person that is truly thankful and just wowed by what God has done in their life, what are they going to do? They're going to tell others about it. But the moment you stop telling people about what God has done in your life is the moment you have lost the awareness, the sense of awe, the thanksgiving, the thankful attitude. You've lost that. We lose it. And because when we do have it, we're prone to share. And we need to understand the importance of sharing our faith and our stories. Tell them about what God has done in your life. And if he hasn't done anything lately, maybe you haven't done anything lately. You see, the Bible says that beautiful are the feet of those who what? Who bring good news. Beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How's our pedicure going? Are our feet looking good or are they ugly right now? Are we sharing or are we not sharing? That's what I'm talking about. But then you can't just share, but you also have to serve. You see, when I'm talking about walking, we're talking about doing, and we talk about serving. So we talked about Baton Rouge still needing help and other people still needing help. We need to exercise and service because it's a physical, just like a physical exercise should be a discipline, then the discipline also would be to exercise spiritually, which is serving and telling people about what God has done. And God has done something in you, amen? So go tell somebody. You see, that should be consistent in our lives. Number two, transformation stalls with jealousy and strife. Jealousy and strife. I've heard in other churches that this happens, not in here, right? So I'm just going to tell you about what happens in other churches. Jealousy and strife. Amazing. In verse 3, he says, you are still fleshly. Fleshly. That you are still fleshly. And then it says, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere man in the likeness of just any man, you know, whatever, conform to just the way we live in this world? See, jealousy and strife stem from selfishness. You know that, right? Selfishness is what makes us jealous, and we all this strife and all these conflicts that we have. Because sometimes instead of worrying about our neighbor's life because of the gospel, we worry about the neighbor's new car or new house or better job or better salary. We worry about their kids and how well they're doing and ours or not or whatever. We start comparing and we forget. We're always comparing ourselves like that and wanting to strive and having these problems. It's like the two shopkeepers, right, in an old town. They had their shops one in front of the other, right across the street. And every time one had a customer and sold something, he would go out to the sidewalk and, whoa, and he'll tell about it. And the other one got really angry. He would go in there. When he got a customer, he'll come back out to the sidewalk and ha-ha! And he'll celebrate. They just kept going and going and going. All this strife, all this conflict and everything. Till one day, one of the shopkeepers had a dream. And in this dream, the voice told him, I tell you what, I can help you out. I will give you anything you ask, whatever you want. But yet, whatever I give you, your competitor across the street is going to get double that. He's like, really? He's like, you want $1 million? I'll give you $1 million. But he gets to have two. I say, huh? It's like, you want customers flowing every day? They'll flow in through your shop. But double will flow into his shop. You want to have prosperity? I'll give you prosperity. But in whatever measure you prosper, he will prosper double that. So, do you want? Just tell me what you want, whatever you ask, and I'll give it to you. The only condition is the shopkeeper next door or across the street will get double that. It's like, really? Make me blind out of one eye. The other, oh, yeah, the other one will be blind on both, right? You see, some people do not live and they don't let live, right? It's just an amazing thing. We just keep jealous and selfishness and envy and all these things, and it's not helping. Sometimes jealousy takes us to the point where we want more of what others have than instead of wanting more from Christ himself. And envy takes us to the place where someone else's life is better than your life in Christ. I don't know why. But selfishness comes from being fleshly. See, that's why Paul says, are you not being fleshly? Carne? Asada? Fleshly. Fleshly. Oh, my goodness. Believers and churches experience transformation when we act the opposite of the flesh. See, when we're not worried about our own selves or how we measure up to others and things like that, but we worry about others and we leave our flesh as a living sacrifice. Isn't that what Paul says in chapter 12 of Romans? In verse 1, says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And he just not says, hey, would you present your bodies? He says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. And then he says, then you'll know what's good, acceptable, and simply, you'll know the will of God. You want to know the will of God? You got to leave your flesh at the altar. A living sacrifice, Paul says. Somebody said, I think it was Mark, I can't remember his last name, from the group Casting Crowns. And I've heard this said by other pastors that the problem with a living sacrifice is that it comes to the altar and then it crawls right back out. You know? That's the problem we have. We come and say, oh, Lord Jesus, I leave it all at the altar. And then whatever we leave crawls right out. Now let's think about why transformation stalls. One more time. When we live like the world. Number 3. See, living for the world will not lead to heaven. I'm sorry. I know that, you know, once you're saved, truly saved, you're always saved. Salvation cannot be taken from you. But my goodness, some of us act like if we didn't get that gift, like if we didn't have a ticket to go there or anything like that. See, you see in verse 3 in this short passage, aren't you fleshly in the way you walk, walking like mere men? This is an indictment on Christians. This is saying, you know what? It's an accusation. You're guilty. You see, you have choked the transformation that was begun by the gospel in your life. The transformation that God started in your life, you have choked it. And you know what? One of the worst things that can happen to a Christian is that we settle for the ordinary. That we settle for, this is it. Okay, so now I'm a Christian. Same thing. Just that I now have a commitment to go to church. Now I have a commitment to kind of like be good. You know, it's okay. And if that's all become about being a Christian, are you really? Now, the Apostle Paul says that we're like babies. You know, when I think of a baby, I think of someone who doesn't know better, right? And you think it's not their fault and things like that. But hold on one second. Babies do naturally grow into something. They change. They transform into something. Even if you don't do a good job of raising them, they'll become selfish immediately. One of the first words they learn is what? Mine. 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 First they say, ma. And they're like, oh, he's saying mama, ma. Ma. Say mama, ma. Say it again, mine. Oh, man, I thought they were going to say mama, right? But they learned to say mine immediately. Can you imagine? How many of you, when you were little, you were allowed to play with dirt, mud, sand? Did you ever make like a mud cake. Mud pie, yeah. Have you ever made a mud pie? Now let me ask you something. Did you try to eat it? Come on. Come on, come on. I see some of you like don't want to say it. Come on, I'll be honest. I made a pie one time and I ate most of it. Because the other kid dared me. How many of you done that? Thank you. That's what amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. And guess what? We are still alive. Today we see a kid that even approaches a doorknob and we're like, right? Immediately you got to get that germ mix out. Amen. But let me tell you, you know what's funny? I start thinking, sometimes Christians like to make mud pies and they forget that it's not about a mud pie when mama's got a chocolate cake back in the house or an apple pie. I'm making you hungry now. Hallelujah. You see, the true pie, the true thing is out there, but yet we settle for the mud pie. That's messed up. See, we got to live different from the world. The world settles for whatever life gives them. We don't settle. We get what God gives us, and we make life different. Amen? That's the way it should work. The thing is that we're so easily pleased with what the world offers. So easily pleased. Far too easy. We should see the pressure, the pleasures of this world, we should see them like little trinkets compared to what God has to offer us. In comparison to what he has to offer us. Life is too brief for us to settle for the things of this world when God has eternal treasures for us. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 that we ought to store treasures in heaven. Did you know that there are treasures up there ready for the taking? The blessings of God eternally for us. You see, but we just settle. But settling for a life in this world is not going to lead you to a heavenly life. And last but not least, we should be striving rather than stalling. We should be praying something like this every morning. Lord, I choose to be sold out for you today. I don't care what happens. Amen. Period. A lot of times we come to God in the mornings and we pray and we say, Lord, help me be strong. Lord, provide for this day. Lord, help me make good decisions. Lord, help me with this, help me with that, help me with this, help me with that. I want to have a good day. I don't want to fight with my boss. I don't want to do this. I want to do that. Please help me, help me, help me, help me. A lot of times God said, I've already helped you. Just do it. Live like you're sold out, like there's no other way, like there's no tomorrow, like Christ is the only thing or only way. Amen? He is the only way. You have to reject the weakness of this world. And of course, you got to ask him for help when you do that. But you need to start thinking, Lord, I want to put others before me. I want to place others, you know, ahead of me. I don't want to think about myself anymore. So don't. You have the power to do that. Imagine what kind of transformation would have the church if each and every one of us would live sold out to Jesus every day. But unfortunately, a lot of Christians rather live unnoticed and unharmed, right? Like quietly Christian living. Well, I don't have to go out there and show off that I'm a Christian. You don't have to show off that you're a Christian. You just have to show off that Christ is in you. All right? It's not about you. It's about him. And let me tell you, the world will always find something to criticize a Christian. The world will always find a Christian at fault in some place. That's okay. But if we do good enough, if we really are sold out for Christ, they will also see that. They will. But we have to live it. We have to do it. At some point in time, you know,
You have to look around and say, you know what? There is more that I can do. Things are possible in Christ. I can be different. See, I think that most Christians, just like any other human being, all of us, most likely have to go through a difficult moment in order to change. I don't think I mentioned it in the sermon last week in English, but I did mention it in Spanish. I'm not sure, and you can clarify this for me. But you know, for example, being a diabetic and going to visit someone who's getting their leg cut off because of diabetes. And being a diabetic, all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, right? But for how many years has my wife told me, David, you need to watch your blood sugar. David, you sure you want to eat that? David, you sure you don't want to exercise? David, you sure you don't want to take your medicine right now? David, you're sure you're going to skip it? We want you to live for a longer time than you were expected. We want you to be around us. We love you. Have I told you that? And then she's come to a point in the past year or so where she has flat out told me to my face, I am not going to get on your case anymore. I'm not going to say anything about it anymore. Especially now, of course, in nursing school, seeing all these cases, she's like, you know what? And at the hospital, I know you will change your mind whenever they tell you they're going to cut off a toe or something. But that's up to you now. I love you, and I will be here to care for you no matter what. But I'm going to leave it up to you. I ain't going to say anything else. And for the past year or so, my wife has not gotten on my case about my diabetes. See, a lot of times Christians have to go through moments like that in their lives to realize I have been living wrong. I didn't get rid of some habit. I've been living in certain sin. A lot of times we do that as Christians. We have to go through some type of obstacle. Sometimes it's a fall. Sometimes it's just a tragedy to then start making a decision to change our lives. You see, let me ask you something. Have you ever been to a river or a creek that flows? You see the water, right? And the water is flowing. And the water is crystal clear. Because what? Because it's going through the rocks. Because it's running. And going against those rocks transforms the water. Makes it fresh. Purifies it. Cleanses it. But when the water stops, it gets stagnant. It gets full of bacteria, and you can't have it. It stinks. And for some of us Christians, our life stinks in some way, shape, or fashion. In one area of our lives, maybe the water's not flowing right because it hasn't been purified. It hasn't been taken through the rocks to get cleansed. And God created us to live that way. Being purified, being holy, being transformed each and every day. We're supposed to be a living portrait of the gospel of Christ. So if you find your life that is stalled, then it's time to make a decision. I'm going to do something, and I'm going to do this publicly, and it's going to put more pressure on me. I've made a commitment to take care of my health. I've been trying to change some things.
Trust me, it's been not so easy.
But I have made some small strides. But it took some obstacle in front of me. It took some confronting. It took some time to reflect. It took some time to say, you know what? I could be enjoying this life much more. Not even extending my life, but just enjoying more if I take care of myself. And my family will enjoy that too.
And probably the church too, anyway.
So I made a commitment to myself to live healthier and do something about it. I started like 2 weeks ago anyway, but so
Don't expect a big transformation yet, okay? It will be so slow you won't even notice until you see like, whoa! But in some areas, my life has been stagnant. And I need to change. You find any area in your life that needs that? Well, water needs to start flowing.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented, a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.